morning and welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna, I am an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Bevan, Paul and Camille, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you like to help me open with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So today our first speaker we have with us is Paul. Would you like to share your story with us, Paul?
Yeah, kia ora tātou te whānau. Ina hautanga o tēnei hui o tātou, ko Pauro tako ingoa, ko Waipuro hau, ko Tarakino hau. Hi, my name's Paul, I'm an alcoholic. It's kind of funny not hearing back. Hi, Paul. My story is... I grew up in a real far north town, and I at a young age became heavily involved in drugs and gangs. I was a peacock. I spent a lot of time in jail, and what happened is that's where my story began. Was I realised that I was escaping from emotions, and I didn't know anything about the disease of alcoholism or addiction. I just knew that I had a problem. The day that my daughter was born. Something came over me. I was holding her in my arms, and I looked down at this little person was holding my hand, and I thought, I need to do better. I need to be better. And that day, actually, I was high, and I gave up drugs that day. It's kind of funny because at the end of this month, which is like 8-9 days away, I'll be 10 years clean of drugs. What I did, though, was I picked up waipuro, which in Māori means dirty water, and that's alcohol. And I used alcohol like I did drugs, and I found myself rapidly declining faster than I did when I used drugs, actually. The last night of my drinking involved me up at the pub having a fight with someone over who had the best lawyer. You know, I came home that night after winning the fight, and I got out my gun. And alcohol saved me that night because I finished off the bottle of alcohol that was there with me at my place, and I blacked out on top of my gun, naked, of course, because that's what you do before you have a fight. And what happened was I woke up the next day and I thought to myself, what the hell am I doing? You know, my life was, it was just a repeat of things that had continuously been happening throughout my whole life, and I'd had enough. And I came out of my place and I got down on my knees and I looked up at the sky, and it could have been a movie. And I felt the sun on my face, and I said, if there's something up there, help me. Help me. And that night I found myself in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I went in there and I looked around, I saw nothing but different. They were wearing jandals, they had button-up shirts, and they were looking me in the eyes and they were smiling at me. And I thought, fuck, these people are completely different from me. And then I heard them talk. And when they talked, it wasn't the words that they were saying, it was the emotions that I felt. They were explaining my pain, and they were explaining the perpetual, endless cycle of just over and over and over and over again. And I learned later on when someone said to me something that's always profoundly stayed with me. They said, have you ever been sick and tired of being sick and tired? That's what I felt that night. And they also shared, they talked about the problem, they talked about the solution, and they talked about a program of action. And I was hungry. And I said, well, what do I have to do? I want this really bad. I need my life to change. And a few of them came up to me and they said, well, we have these steps on the wall, but you need a sponsor. I said, what's a sponsor? And they said, someone that has worked the program and has the life that you want. And I thought, well, yeah, I like people with big cars and bikes and that sort of stuff. And they said, no, someone that is working a program of action in recovery that is happy, that has the happiness that you desire. And so I got all enthusiastic, and I walked up to my next meeting the next night, and I saw someone celebrating 17 years sober. He had a leather jacket on, so I thought, well, he must be pretty cool. So I walked up to him, and I said, hey, will you be my sponsor? And he looked me straight in the eyes. You know what he said to me? He said, no. I got so furious. I got really angry. But I didn't let that destroy me. You know, I kept coming back. And by the end of that week, someone else came up to me and started talking to me, and he ended up being my sponsor, and he had 24 years sober. And I said to him, so how do these step things work? When do you start doing those? And he said to me, well, how long do you want to wait to get well? And, you know, we started going through the steps. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to skip straight to step 7. You know, I wanted to go straight to step 11, and, you know, I didn't want to do all the other hard stuff. And I said, so where do we start? He said, at step 1. He goes, you know, do you admit that you're powerless over alcohol? And I said, well, I can't stop drinking. So that's a pretty good indicator. He said, is your life unmanageable when you drink alcohol? And I said, well, I've just lost my daughter, and I'm looking at going back to jail again. So that's a pretty good indicator. So my step one was pretty non-negotiable. I knew right then and then that I was powerless over alcohol, and that my life is unmanageable as soon as I use alcohol. And he talked about step 2, where he said to me, right, we need to find a power greater than yourself. And I was like, well, I've got the power company. And he said, no, I'm talking about a higher power. A higher power, something greater than me, no way. And, you know, and I started thinking a lot. It's like, well, you know, you drink Baileys out of a shoe. Do you think you can possibly think of a higher power? Well, there's a good chance of that. I was willing to do anything. So I found my higher power. And then he talked about step 3, and he said, you need to start using your higher power. I'm like, but people only ever used me. Which wasn't that funny, actually, because I had to start using this higher power, and then my mentality started to change, you know. Today, I've just turned 6 years sober. I'll be 10 years clean of drugs at the end of this month. I thought I'd be nothing other than a stupid, bloody peacock that was heavily involved in gangs and would never be anything else. I've returned to university. I've done a level 7 bachelor's. I've started my own business. I have my daughter back in my life 7 days on, 7 days off. I am her safe place. I asked her earlier this week, what's one word you think of as soon as you think of daddy? And without hesitation, she looked me in the eyes and she said, safe. You know, I used to sit in dark places with dark people talking about dark things that we used to do to other dark people. We sure as hell didn't sit around in a circle saying, oh my gosh, I feel vulnerable tonight. We didn't look around and say, well, I don't feel quite serene right now. We didn't have those types of conversations. I had to come in here and I had to learn how to talk about my emotions. I had to name them. I was a baby. You know, behind anger, there's always some other type of emotion that's behind it. Grief, sadness, fear, guilt, shame. I had to learn other things, like how to have communication with normal people. You know, I'd fear about walking up to people at supermarkets. Today I walk up, you know, and I talk to them and say, hey, how are your kids? Because we talk so often. You know, there's a little old lady that lives down the road from me. I saw her struggling to get up a curb the other day with her shopping trolley. This was a few months ago. Anyway, her name's Mary. I walked up to her and I said, would you like a hand? And she said, yeah, I'd love a hand. She looked at me with all my rings on and wearing all my... Let's just say I don't look approachable. And today I go and see her every Monday while she talks to me about her family that never come and see her. You know, I take her groceries and I sit there and I have a cup of tea with her. You know, today I help other people. I have a lot of sponsees. I go out of my way to do service. I'm hungry for this program. If you love this program, get into it, change your life, and the promises on page 83 and 84 will come true. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you very much for your sharing there, Paul. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'd like to introduce our next speaker, who is Bevan. Bevan, would you like to share with us? Thank you.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Bevan, alcoholic. Yeah, alcohol and how it sat with me. Yeah, looking, well, you know, my story is similar to a lot of people's. I grew up. So I grew up in West Auckland, and I discovered this alcohol thing, you know, and for me it seemed like an elixir to life, you know. It seemed like a friend at a party when you feel anxious, and it takes that anxiety away, it takes away your shyness, you know. My relationship with alcohol for the most part for the first few decades was relatively good. Mind you, I could take it or leave it. I didn't need to medicate myself with it until later. But as I've found out by, you know, learning about alcoholism and how it affects some people different to others, how people have the gene and how other people's don't have it. Some people get it quite early. Like I said, there was something not quite right with me. But yeah, things really ramped up in my early 40s, sort of thing. The promise, you know, my drinking was troublesome and problem, you know, had problems and stuff. There was a difference between my drinking and others early on. Forgot what I was saying, but basically, so alcohol took away my shyness. It gave me energy, actually. Gave me the energy to be sociable and fun. It gave me a reason to go out and meet people. It seemed like a treat. I looked forward to it. It seemed like a treat. Its recourse wasn't that severe in the first little while. You know, of course, you feel hungover and pretty terrible, and you can bounce back from that. And it seems like it was worth it for all the, you know, so-called fun that you had the night before. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was fun. I hadn't had fun on alcohol for probably a good 10 years before I gave it up, and that was almost 3.5 years ago. Didn't see the problems it was causing, massive problems it was causing in my life. Towards the end, I discovered it quite early, but when I was alone, I drank, you know. I actually did that. I did that when I was sort of like 18. My parents would go out and stuff, and I'd get into the liquor cabinet and just drink by myself, you know. And that was very much my story in the later days. Trying to give up alcohol through, courses and things and through my own willpower did not work. You know, I felt alone and sort of, what's the point? I didn't discover how powerful this disease could be, basically, how it can be really powerful. You know, I've had some tough days, and I've phoned my sponsor and said, oh, look, man, what's going on? And he's explained to me that, you know, he's been there before. Alcohol has tried everything on you. You know, you've gotten sober and you've gotten through some, you know, normal life tasks and admin and this and that, going to work and being a responsible adult and stuff, but nothing's worked. So I think my alcoholism just throws everything it has at me and just tries to weaken me, you know. It basically says, hey man, just get back in the ring one last time and I'll go easy on you this time, you know. And I've learnt my lessons enough times to realise that those days are over where, you know, it'll go easy on me and things will be fun. So I went through a detox. I went through two detoxes because, slow learner. Discovered AA in detox. They came to, you know, they provide a wicked service. They came to my group and sat there and told their stories, and their stories sounded a lot like mine. So I got some details afterwards from them, and I went to my first meeting the second night I got out of detox, because, going home and sitting on the couch and doing the same old thing. You know, it's like sitting in the barber's chair and you're going to get a haircut eventually, you know. So, yeah, went to meetings and I haven't looked back. You know, it's been my life. I've met people that are very much like me. I've met my sponsor at my meeting, my second ever meeting. He's got a life that I really wanted. So I asked him to be my sponsor and he's been great, you know. He's been the rock on... yeah, some of my tough days, and I just can't thank him enough. He's a good guy. He's about to complete his psychology degree. He's runs a little website business. Very smart, very very happy guy. But he suffers from the same thing as me, where you just have your bad days sometimes, you know. And what a difference a day makes, eh? I've discovered, you know. I feel like some days the sky is falling, and you know, things are terrible. That's my alcoholism. And then other days, you know, life's life. Life's good. Recovery for me is very much enjoyable, you know, and I still call it recovery because I'll always be working on myself, you know. I'll never be recovered. Me personally, I'll never be recovered. Yeah, recovery should be enjoyed, not endured. Yeah, it's, you know, I do things that make me feel uncomfortable sometimes so that I can feel comfortable, so I can get used to them, you know, because life isn't easy, but giving up alcohol isn't easy either, actually, but it's worth it, you know. I thought it was impossible, and I've discovered that it's possible after running up, you know, continuous days. And the options to me now, compared to the options to me when the first thing I did in the morning was drink, it's just unbelievable, you know. I can do whatever I want, but first I have to do what I have to do, you know, and that's follow the program and its teachings, you know. For me, it's don't be a dick, and life just becomes a lot easier. You know, the tongue can be pretty sharp sometimes. I try and shut my mouth and just be a good human being. And I go to lots of, I don't go to as many meetings as I should, but I go to quite a few meetings, and I've taken on service, secretarial positions, go to camps. I enjoy everything that AA has to offer. And I love talking to people who are starting their journey, because that was me once upon a time. So, no, to drink again is not an option for me. So, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying this sober life, and just grateful for everything that this program has promised and provided, and has done so for, you know, 80-odd years. Thanks for listening.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Bevan, for sharing with us. And our last speaker today, we have Camille. Camille, would you like to share your experience with us?
Hi, I'm Camille, alcoholic. I started drinking when I was 13, and I knew I was different straight away, because when I started drinking by myself, my friends weren't drinking. And the first time I drank was, I think I got sick, I blacked out, and my drinking was that way always. It was never normal. In fact, I don't think my friends started drinking until they were maybe a bit later, maybe 16. So I definitely knew I wasn't normal. I knew I was an alcoholic by the time I was 16 or 17, and I remember saying to my mum when I was about 17 that I hadn't had a drink for 6 months, and that felt like a real achievement, but I thought that I'd be okay to keep drinking at that point, so I did. I first came into AA when I was 23 years old. I had two kids by that point, and instead of looking after my toddler, I was getting drunk during the day and passing out. So my friend brought me to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was in Birkenhead on the North Shore on a Wednesday. And I remember the room was thick with smoke and there was a lot of old people. I was 23 years old, and I thought the people in the room must have been maybe 80 or 90 years old, and I couldn't relate to them. I knew that AA meant that you had to stay sober and never drink again. Abstinence was the word they used. And I just couldn't imagine. I thought I'd probably live maybe until I was 93, so maybe I'd live another 70 years, and I couldn't imagine going through the rest of my life 70 years without a drink. It just seemed unrealistic and not possible for me. I went to 3 meetings that week, and each meeting I found the same really old people, and all I could see was different. I could see that these people had something. They were able to stay sober, but I thought it was by willpower, and I'd tried my willpower before and that hadn't worked for me. So I thought, these people are different from me. So whatever they're doing is great. It works for them, but it's not going to work for me. So I drank for another 20 years, and over that time I lost my career, and I was divorced and DIC'd. Each time something happened in my life, I didn't see that my life was unmanageable. I found a way to manage it. So when I was DIC'd, I thought, well, I just won't drive at night. And then when I realised I was drinking during the day a lot, I thought, well, I just won't drive. And when I left my job before I was asked to leave, because I couldn't have handled the guilt and shame of that. And I just thought, well, I just won't work then. That'll be okay. And that worked quite well for me, because then I could drink all the time. And I actually had 4 kids in the end. And my last 2 pregnancies, I wasn't able to stay sober that whole time, because I couldn't get more than a day sober. I couldn't get 9 months, that's for certain. So I raised all 4 of my children as an alcoholic, an active alcoholic, which I wouldn't recommend. And I thought that I wasn't the worst mum in the world. I was trying my best to live a double life. I was being my best to coach and manage kids' sports and try to get sober enough during the day that I could do those things. And yeah, I thought I was an okay mum because I was physically present for my kids. I didn't realise until I got sober that I wasn't there emotionally for them, and that really damaged them. I spent 20 years between my first visit to AA and my second pretty miserable, very lonely, and I did most of my drinking at home alone in my bedroom. My world got very small over that time. I didn't really realise how bad it got. I was just clouded with an alcohol fog most of the time anyway, so I wasn't really able to see past that. And I just thought, well, you know, some people they die drunk, they die alcoholics, and I thought I was going to be one of those. I didn't see any other way out for me, and I thought, that's okay, it'll happen. But at some point, I got to 43, so 20 years after my first meeting, and one day I couldn't do it anymore. It was not a particularly worse day than any other day. Nothing really bad happened. My family had enough of me, as usual. By this stage, I had a new family, I had stepkids, and I knew I had no business ruining their life, but I couldn't do anything about it. But I just got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore. I'd had enough. I felt so hopeless and desperate and alone. And I prayed. I said, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. And I stopped drinking at that point. It was daylight savings. I don't remember what time it was. I drank a lot that day. But I remember it was still light, and I didn't take another drink that night. And the next day I woke up. I don't think I slept that night. The next day, anyway, it was light. And I thought, I have to do something different. Something has to change. And I didn't know what to do, but I had prayed the night before and I'd asked God for help. And I picked up my phone and I Googled AA, and I found that there was a meeting 2 kilometres from my house. And I thought about that all day. And then it came to about an hour before the meeting and I changed my mind. I thought, no, I don't need that. No, it'll be okay. But I got home and I put my key in the door and I saw my kitchen. I knew what I was going to do. I always walk to the kitchen and I pick up wine and I put it in my mouth. If no one's looking, I'll put the bottle of wine straight in my mouth and just drink it. I wouldn't even pour it into a glass. And I knew that I was going to do that. So I thought, I better get to that meeting. So I went into my bedroom, I got changed, and I drove to that meeting. When I got to the meeting, I started walking up the driveway. It was at a school. And halfway up the driveway, I changed my mind. I thought, no, I don't need this. It's too scary. I've been there. I've tried AA. It doesn't work for me. But a man saw me walking towards the meeting, and he knew that I was going to walk away. And he walked up to me and he started talking to me about his story. And I heard similarities this time. I heard my story and his. And so I came into the meeting and he walked me straight up to a lady and he introduced me to her, and that lady became my sponsor. So a week later, I asked the lady to be my sponsor. I knew enough about AA to know that that you have to get a sponsor and you have to do these steps that they have on the wall. Those steps terrified me when I first walked into that meeting room when I was 23 years old. I saw the word God on the wall. I didn't want to have anything to do with God. I was raised in a really strict religious home, and the idea of God to me was a guy in the sky wearing white robes who was just waiting to punish me, waiting to strike me down with his rod or something like that every time I did something wrong. But this time I was so desperate, I didn't really care about the God thing. I was prepared to go and do anything. Once I got my first sober day, I wanted more. Once I'd got past my first 2 weeks and I'd detoxed off alcohol and I was starting to feel a bit better, I never wanted to go through that again. And my life started to get better straight away. So I did get a sponsor. I asked a lady to be my sponsor. She said yes, and she took me through the steps. It wasn't the painful, scary process I thought it was going to be. It was a very gentle process. We met once a week together. We sat down for an hour and we started reading through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when we got to a step, we worked the step and my life got better really quickly. Within 6 months, I was starting to feel emotion again. And I haven't actually had a drink since I walked into that meeting. That was 3 years, 8 months and a couple of weeks ago. I don't drink today, not because I don't want to drink. I just don't need to. I've learned a lot about myself and the disease of alcoholism, and now I realise that I never drank for any other reason that I'm an alcoholic. I was always doomed to pick up a drink because I'm an alcoholic, and now I know that I can never put another alcoholic drink in my body safely. So I keep doing the suggested things that they suggest in Alcoholics Anonymous. I come to meetings, I sponsor other women, and I have an amazing life. I've got a wonderful host of friends around me that I never had before, and I'm so grateful that I found Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening to me share.
Thank you very much, Camille, for your sharing this morning. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you again to Paul, Bevan and Camille for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call us on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, that's 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website www.planetaudio.org.nz under the program name AA On Air. Finally, could you join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God,
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.